Hey, I'm really excited about today, not just being our birthday, but we're getting to start a new series, a new adventure, as it were, in our Sunday preaching. I've really enjoyed our journey through Ephesians chapter 1, where we looked at us as having every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, and then studying the different blessings that are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1. Today we're going to start Romans chapter 12. We're going to dig into God's word over the next month. We're going to spend a month in one chapter. So let's see how we go. Some people have mentioned they've loved the depth of Bible teaching. So here we go. We're going to continue to go there in this way. Surrender is vital to the Christian life. It can sound hard and harsh, and unless we are surrendering to something better. Here's a quote that I put up during the week. I've got some great quotes in and through YouVersion, Bible study, devotionals. This was the quote. It says, "Surrender is trusting God's heart toward you and entrusting your heart to him." I'll read that again. "Surrender is trusting God's heart toward you and entrusting your heart to him." The Apostle Paul talks about surrender, total commitment, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So if you have your Bibles there, let's have a look. I'm going to read three different versions today because it expounds it again and again. The first one I'm going to read is the New King James Version, and it says this: "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove God's good and perfect will." Here's another one from the Message. "So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating and going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognized what he wants for you, and quickly responding to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you." And this version, I'm already in trouble with a number of the ladies today, and please don't encourage Cynthia to go on strike because of the washing comment. There's a few people online that are saying, "That's it, Cynthia, just cut him off." So I was going to say that this version at Bible College was called the ladies' version, but I'm not going to say that now. This is the amplified version. It has more words in it. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves that the will of God is that which is good, acceptable, perfect in his plan and his purpose for you." Isn't that good? There's three good passages, unpacking it in different ways, hitting on different tangents. And I honestly feel that I could stop now and you'd all have something to take away from it, because there's so much meat just in those three little versions. But I'm going to expand it anyway. All right. The first one is therefore. Now, you don't say therefore without having something to come from. All right. You've got to have something there for the therefore to make sense of. So we know, because it says Romans chapter 12, we know there's another 11 chapters beforehand. So not being a very good pastor, I'm actually saying, okay, there's 11 chapters. Go and read that this week and you'll find out why I'm saying therefore at the beginning. Well, actually, Paul says therefore at the beginning. There's 11 chapters full of really good, meaty, solid stuff. And then he says, now, because of all that, this is how I want you to live. And it's the theology behind it, but we're going to concentrate on the practicalities of it. We might go back to the others. Beginning of this year, Brendan and I had a plan to use the book of Romans over a long time and to delve into it in a big way. Without Brendan here, I'm just choosing one chapter, so we'll see how we go. So therefore, all this has happened, but today we're going to look at this. The mercies of God, the Almighty. Remember, he is our creator and we are the created. Remember, he is the potter and we are the clay. Remember, it's his mercy working in and through us that allows us to have what we have, allows us to be able to pray, allows us to have God's word, allows us to worship in a place like this, allows us to have the Holy Spirit working in and through us. It's God's mercy upon us, each and every one of us, which we've expanded as we looked at adoption, as we looked at it redeeming, as we looked at the Holy Spirit. So it's God's mercy, a living sacrifice. The way that some of those, the message and the amplified expand the living sacrifice, gives us the picture that this living sacrifice is about living our lives every day for Jesus. It's not just about Sunday morning. It's not just about a home group, but it's living, walking, breathing, talking, working, everything we do, playing sport, getting petrol, whatever it is, it's all about that living sacrifice for Jesus. And who we bump into with and who we do life with, it's all about Jesus. And it's all about living for him. It says an acceptable form of worship in some of the translations. The New King James says active, acceptable form of service. How many of us actually know worship is actually our service? It's not just our singing. Although I love it. And thank you very much, Steve and the team, for what you did today. I love to sing. It's good. Praise and worship is excellent. But our worship to God is more than just Sunday mornings. It's our worship all the way through it. 10,000 reasons. When I wake in the morning and when I go to bed at night, may I still be singing about this worshiping God that I can have. It's important that we grab hold of this, that acceptable worship. Next part, do not be conformed by this world. The world there, if you dig into it, into the Greek, is age. I think age fits well for us where we are today, because sometimes we say world, we're so ingrained in the world that we forget that we're ingrained in the world. We forget how special we are. We forget how good it is to live where we are. I love to go and visit Malawi. It just gives me a massive wake-up call on how well off I am and how blessed I am and what I have in this situation compared to how they live life every day. So in this age, God has commanded us to live separate from this world, its values. And what he means is that we learn how to say no. Yep, I'm saying learning how to say no. But let's be honest, saying no to this world is not easy. This world's system is seductive and alluring. The Christian life is not so much about what God wants from me, but as what God wants for me. Let me just say that again, because I've got it highlighted, so it's obviously important. The Christian life is not so much what God wants from me, but what God wants for me. So in this world and in this place and in this age, at this space and in this time, what is it that God's got for you? God is a good father. He wants every special thing for his children. But as contrary to as we might seem, this best includes living separate to the world's values. Do you understand that? We got to step away from the world's values. I see again and again the church getting into trouble. And I know I've used this analogy too much. Like when your boat goes out into the water, the boat's meant to be on the water, not in the water. If you've got too much water in the boat, your boat sinks. Sometimes as the church, we've got too much water in the boat. And we need to get the water out of the boat because we need to rise up above it and not be pulled down by it. Does that make sense? We live in a world, yes, but we're not of this world. And we're meant to be going our guiding and everything by Almighty God. Remember? Creator, created. It's not me about telling God how he's supposed to do things. Although, if you're like me, some of my prayers are just that. Hey, God, this is the best way to do this. Hey, God, if you do this, this is an awesome idea. Like, he's never thought of it. I come up with it. I'm helping him out. You know, me and God, we're like this. But the reality from it is that God is the creator. I'm the created. God is the potter. I am the clay. But often in our world today, we turn it around the other way. We think we are the ones that command God to do what he has to do. That he sits there waiting like some heavenly genie answering every demand of ours. And it's not that way at all. He is the Almighty. It is he who runs in and through us. Propaganda is a truly terrible weapon in the hands of an expert. That's actually a quote. Let me read it again. Propaganda is a truly terrible weapon in the hands of an expert. Do you know who quoted that? Adolf Hitler. He certainly understood the power and the manipulation and deception that he could accomplish his diabolical objectives. His propaganda machine cultivated hatred, suspicion, and fear. How much are we listening to propaganda today? How much of the world's culture is coming at us a million miles an hour through our tablets, through our laptops, through our phones? We're gorging this stuff. We're taking it in because, hey, I saw it on Facebook, it must be true. I saw it in a Twitter feed, it must be true. We're believing the propaganda that this world is throwing up. We need to believe what God says, his truth, not the world's truth. And if you take anything on from Facebook, social media, even the internet, even Wikipedia, then please check it out, check it out, check it out, and then check it out again. Because there is so much stuff out there that is not true. We're buying into the propaganda that goes around. Saying no requires us to say yes to a higher authority. So it's easy to say no, or easier to say no to the world, no to the propaganda, if we're saying yes to God more often. Saying yes to an intimate relationship with my Heavenly Father, who helps me to say no to anything that could damage my relationship with him, that's a good place to start. That's a good thing to be able to do. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed. The word here is the one that we use for metamorphosis. This is a work that is being done in us. Now, metamorphosis is an amazing thing that takes place. There's a couple of examples here that I have. The grub that just crawls around eating all its whole life. The grub that sits around. Someone just said New South Wales. Sorry, Richie. That's not fair. The grub that just sits around eating all its life and then all of a sudden goes to sleep and wakes up with wings. Do you think he sits there and goes, whoa, check this out. No more crawling around. I can fly. You know, how cool is that? Or the tadpole who just swims around. And then all of a sudden things start changing in the tadpole's life. And then finally he becomes a frog who can jump out and breathe air, who can now climb up trees. Tadpoles don't climb trees. Frogs climb trees. There's a massive change. Now, I sometimes think that we forget that we were once sinners, lost, and now are holy and acceptable before Almighty God. There is a transformation that has taken place in your life and in my life. I'm not looking just at you there. I'm just everyone. Your life and my life has taken place. This week I had an awesome opportunity. One of the pastors I know very well in this area rang me up and just said, hey, I'm off to do a visit. I'm going past your way. Do you mind if I drop in? And we spent an hour and a half together, and it was awesome. We got to chat about a little bit about his background and my background, and we found out that we were both rat bags. Once upon a time, once upon a time was a rat bag, but now senior pastor of a church, and he's a senior pastor of a church. Now, the correlation is not there that all senior pastors were once rat bags, or that all rat bags become senior pastors. Although, having talked to a lot of pastors, there's a lot of rat bags who became pastors. But the real work there is God's work of transformation. When I go back and talk to a whole bunch of kids I went to school with, certainly in grade 8, 9 and 10, they can't believe that I'm a pastor. They honestly thought I would have ended up in jail or something different. So, yeah, transformation of God's work in and through our lives. It's real. And we need to be in awe of what God has done. It's why I'm trying to get us to think a bit about today. What God has done in and through this place in people's lives is something to celebrate. And there's some great stories that are being shared today, and I'm loving to hear more stories. And it's good to hear that Richie's got a jumper, 17 years old, but this is only 16, so that's cool. All right. I don't know about you, but the renewing of the mind bit is really important to me. I don't know about you, but when I sit down and go, okay, God, I'm going to pray, I'm going to be still and know, it's like my mind goes into overload. And I start thinking about everything else but focusing in on God. And it's like the renewing of my mind. Come on, God, help me out here. You said it in your word. My wanderings in and through my prayer times or my preparation. But I've stopped getting frustrated at my wanderings and things. Instead, I'm starting to allow them to show me that they're actually a window into my heart. And that as those things start coming into my mind, as I'm in a time of prayer, I write them down and start to pray them through. Some of them are amazing. Some are scary. Some that I've learnt that I care way more about what people think of me, and I'm easily wounded by situations, words, glances, unfounded beliefs about those around me. And sometimes I just need to bring them before the Lord at that moment and let Him renew my mind, because it's not really about my reputation or my perspective, but it is about how my Heavenly Father sees me, and to know again that I'm adopted as His son, to let Him be the one who brings healing to those thoughts. So so far, more life-giving it is than trying to shovel those thoughts back into a junk box or a junk folder on your laptop. Just put them all there and leave them there, because they eventually get out and shut your laptop down. It's bringing them into the light and being empowered by the Holy Spirit to then be actually throw them away for good and no longer let them grab hold of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5 tells us, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity and obedience to Christ Jesus. So that's something to do in the area of renewing our mind. It's important that we continue to let God renew our mind, because the things of this world could continue to just distract us and take us off task. What is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God? We need to acknowledge that His plans for me and for you are the best, and they are of our best interest. Doing life His way is actually pleasant, satisfying, and enjoyable. His will is perfect. He will never lead me down a wrong path. I will go down many wrong paths, but He won't be leading me at that time. I may be running ahead or being disobedient or being listening to the propaganda around me, but God doesn't lead me down wrong paths. He leads me into good times and beside still waters. His plan for me, and falling more in love with God helps me fall out of love with the world. And you can keep that one. That's from my devotions as well. Falling more in love with God helps me fall out of love with this world. And saying no to the world is connected to our desire to say yes to God. We have every spiritual blessing in Jesus. We are adopted sons and daughters of Almighty God, our Father. We are redeemed. We are set free from sin. We have the precious gift of the Holy Spirit working in and through us every day. Therefore, let us live a life of sacrifice, a life of worship, a life that pleases God, a life not bound and controlled by this current age, a life that enables us to be transformed, to have our mind renewed, and to know that God's good and perfect plan for each of us individually and corporately as a church is His number one priority. That's good news. And let's pray. Father God, thank You for this opportunity of opening up Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. I pray, Lord God, as we continue to open it up further in the next few weeks, that it'll be something significant and powerful for each and every one of us. Thank You for Your blessing that is upon us. Thank You that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And thank You, Lord God, that we can worship You as we do in this last song. Just want to encourage you to think about these things, pray through this last song. But if there's something you'd like prayer for, feel free to personally message us or Brendan, and we'll certainly would love to pray with you and for you. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today.